Good morning. It's 9:05 a.m. I will now call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting for August 4th, 2013 to order. To begin our day, I'd like to introduce Pastor Ed Lance of the Tyler Street United Methodist Church in Oak Cliff, a native of Princeton, Texas. He's been in Dallas for some time and been with Tyler Street for the last 4 years. It's great to have you here. Thank you. And following that, Mr. Kleinman will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Can we all stand?
Let us pray. Gracious God, creator of us all, light of all humankind, thank you for a brand new day. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is uncertain. This day is what we have. Thank you for Mayor Rawlings, these council members, the staff and city employees, and for each citizen of this great city. Thank you for those who have given their hearts, minds, and strength in service to the people of Dallas. Remind us again, O God, of the incredible privilege we have in serving one another. We ask you now, O God, to be part of this meeting. Grant us wisdom to understand the challenges before us, humility to work with one another, courage to stand on our convictions, and selflessness to give ourselves away for the well-being of others. Thank you again, O God, for the privilege of serving and for your all-sufficient grace. Amen.
And amen. Clement.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty.
We all keep standing. As Mr. Lance reminded us, this week we had a passing of one of our own, a veteran of this horseshoe and the Dallas City Council, a man who served this city honorably and with great pride. I got to meet him in my time working with the homeless, and he was an advocate for that effort. And with that, I think our city staff has prepared a video in his memory. And so if we can continue that moment of silence as we watch this video.
Hi, CC with the city here. We're outside of City Hall where flags are at hat staff as we remember former Dallas City Council member Leo Cheney Jr. Cheney served 8 years on Dallas City Council from 1999 to 2007. Council member Carolyn Davis remembers him fondly.
Well, what I can remember of Leo is that he was a wonderful council member. He did the very best he could do to enhance the lives of South Dallas Fair Park community.
Mr. Cheney's achievements and priorities on the council include fighting to limit liquor-related establishments in residential areas, neighborhood revitalization, affordable housing, human services, and economic development in South Dallas. Davis says Mr. Cheney was best known for promoting housing in his beloved Southern Dallas.
I think one of the things that I can really pinpoint is the Bear Street redevelopment. That was one of the babies that he made sure that money was there to kind of get it off the ground, and then now we're finishing it out.
In 2003, Cheney worked with Dr. Harry Robinson Jr., the CEO of the African American Museum, to create Tolosoma, South Dallas Book Fair and Arts Festival, which attracts nationally known authors together to promote literacy. Councilmember Davis now champions the festival and plans to commemorate Cheney.
We'll make recognition to Councilmember Cheney. This will be, I think, fitting for him. I will make sure I lift his name up as high as I can lift it and thank him for all that he has done.
Other city employees say Cheney will be remembered for his compassion. Lori Ellis was his secretary during his tenure.
I remember specifically when Katrina hit, and he was president of NBC Leo, and he called all the people to see if they were okay, the mayors and the council members that he knew, just to make sure that they were okay. That's the kind of person he was.
By all accounts, Mr. Cheney was a class act and will be greatly missed.
He was a really great man. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because he was.
Thank you. You can be seated. Mr. Cheney's wake will be Friday afternoon, and I've been told his services is Saturday 11 at Trueleaf. So thank you. With that, we will proceed with our morning agenda. I will say as we start, we've got a lot to do today, so I hope we keep going. So, Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin with your morning speakers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council, shall be removed from the room. As well, you are required to stay to the topic at which you have signed up for. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You will notice a timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments only to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Jennifer Land.
Yes, good morning. And again, God bless Leo Cheney. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to speak about the censorship that's going on with the JFK, not the 50th, but the JFK Memorial, the ongoing events, and the November 22nd event. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. These words inspired our nation as we embarked on a period that some called Camelot. The youngest president ever to inspire our nation as we embarked on a period that some called Camelot. The youngest president ever to begin boldly lead our nation down a different path, the path of hope and peace. He began the Peace Corps. He got the momentum of the civil rights movement going. He began to pull us out of Vietnam. He issued constitutional money with Executive Order 1110, and he confronted communist Russia in the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he and Khrushchev saved the world from nuclear destruction. He began nuclear disarmament, and he helped feed the people of our enemy, the Soviet Union, who were starving from years of poor crops. He began to dismantle the CIA, which had become a rogue agency involved in toppling foreign governments like Chile and Iraq. Kennedy's last straw with the CIA was there forcing him to go along with an invasion of Cuba. And when it went wrong, the CIA blamed him. That was enough for JFK. Did JFK anger some and create any enemies? During Charlie Rose's historic interview of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., JFK's nephew and the son of his brother, RFK Jr. recommended the book Unspeakable by James Douglas as the best book he's read, explaining who and why JFK was assassinated. Pause. There's a lot of written material here. You'll be able to read it later. Who has seen Charlie Rose's historic interview of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on January 11th in this city? Who has seen it? Who is aware of it? Only 700 people in the world have seen that historic interview, and there's significant information that should be coming forward to the people so we can connect the dots. Why is it important to connect the dots? as Al Lipscomb used to say. The evidence is clear. Those that ruled our city and nation in 1963 run our nation and our city today. So, Mayor Marlins, since pretty much you're responsible for this, you're in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. The grievances are mounting against you, sir. And as far as I'm concerned, you should be indicted and go to jail for what you are doing, disgracing our city on the occasion of the 50th JFK anniversary memorial. Not the 50th, excuse me, sir.
Good to have you back, Mr. Sheridan.
Your next speaker is Jennifer Land. Jennifer Land. Okay, Ms. Land is coming forward. Ms. Land will be followed by Susie Marshall, Brandon Tollard, and Valetta Leal.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. My name is Jennifer Land. I'm with Concerned Citizens for Safer Mosquito Control. I'm here today to present a letter to the court that has over 40 signatures from leading chefs, local food businesses, environmental groups, scientists that are requesting officials prioritize safer, more effective larviciding over adulticiding and consider both truck and aerial application of low-impact BTI larvicide, something other municipalities are doing with innovative mosquito abatement programs. We appreciate how city staff has met with concerned stakeholders and worked towards consensus building. We are all impacted by the serious public health threat of West Nile. We also are all impacted by the effects of mosquito abatement programs. Many of our signers shared these concerns with the Commissioner Court yesterday, including local growers, beekeepers, and leading chefs who noted the effects of adulticides on Dallas's thriving local food-to-table movement and restaurant industry, which leads the state in sales. Texas is expected to lead the nation in restaurant sales growth this year, and local food is expected to be a key emphasis. Stephen Smith of the veteran-owned Eat the Yard, which was recently featured on the cover of Dallas Observer, choked up as he recounted to commissioners how he and his partner had to destroy their entire crop that was damaged by the aerial spray last summer and never made it to leading restaurant tables. Last summer, Texas Honeybee Guild lost 60% of their bees that pollinate these crops. The alarming national decline in bees, linked in part to pesticides, is the cover story of Time magazine, which is in front of you today. Bees pollinate one-third of our food supply and are integral to our thriving local food industry. Representatives of Audubon Dallas, Texas Campaign for the Environment, and Texas Discovery Gardens also signed our letter and spoke to the court about the impacts to the ecosystem as a whole that keeps West Nile in check. Leading entomologists and public health experts have also warned officials about the inefficacy and health risks of aerial spraying, including Dr. David Bellinger of the Harvard School of Public Health, who has noted the risk particularly posed to children, which should give us pause alone. The state of Massachusetts has instituted an initiative aimed at the very goal of lowering the use of adulticides, which points to the concern about the growing concern about their impact to the environment and our health. In addition to these negative impacts, adulticides also have no effect at controlling the immature stages of the mosquitoes that entomologists generally agree are the best stages to target, which is why larvicide is not only a safer way to control mosquitoes, but also more effective. I'd ask you now to please look at the list of signers that we have. We have the president of the Dallas Area Restaurant Association. We have numerous chefs on here, leading chefs in the nation. We have restaurants signing on here. We have local food businesses, green grocers, Urban Acres. We have almost every local environmental group, Dallas, Audubon Dallas, Sierra Club, Texas Campaign for the Environment. All of these groups came together to consensus build, and we appreciate the city consensus building with us, and we hope you take these concerns to heart as we have. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Susie Marshall. Susie Marshall. Ms. Marshall will be followed by Brandon Tollard and Valeta Leal.
Mr. Tollard, if you can come down front so we can. Who's following her? Yeah, please
Valeta
come
Leal.
On down.
Mm-hmm. Please
you.
Proceed.
Please.
Good morning. I'm Susie Marshall, and my address is 3866 High Grove. Locally, I'm the director of the Gleaning Network and Grow North Texas, and a Dallas County native. I'm also the president of the Texas Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, or TOFCA, as it's known. It's the only statewide organization that supports sustainable, organic, and local food and fiber production in Texas. So I'll be kind of speaking from that perspective and in support of larvaciding for mosquito abatement. So often we as humans make decisions that we might see as best for the moment without considering the consequences to other species with whom we share our planet. These song lyrics continually come to my mind as we're working on these issues. It says, all the fur and fin will lose again because our better is their worst reckoning. Our fine feathered friends will sing until they bleed. How will we replace that symphony? The bees and other pollinators may not bleed before our eyes, but maybe we may be able to slough it off on some other environmental factor. But we can't deny that the bees are having a tough time right here in Dallas. My parents personally have had three hives die in their backyard in Bluffview. Was it from the aerial spraying? We don't know. But does it matter? We need bees to produce food. We need toxin-free food produced here in Dallas. Dallas has the opportunity to take a different course. Maybe not an easier course, but one that will garner positive publicity. Sustainability and green living are the themes of our world today. The city has the opportunity to be innovative and forward-thinking by using measures that will do a much better job of reducing the mosquito population than blanket spraying an area. Natural larvicides, gambusia, and education show better results than the spraying that exposes all living creatures to toxins that we don't need in our systems. There is a matrix of neighborhood associations that could be engaged, among other opportunities. They could educate and monitor their own areas. And utilizing such an approach might also strengthen communities and be one piece of bettering Dallas, making it an even safer place for people to live. I hope you will consider with open ears all of the alternatives to adulticides that have a much better result in reducing mosquito populations. These methods protect the livelihood of many small businesses providing local honey and clean fruits and vegetables to Dallasites. Our growing local agriculture is something to be very proud of. Please protect it, the environment, the water supply, and all residents by not using toxic adulticides. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Brandon Tollard. Mr. Tollard will be followed by Valetta Lil.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Pollard. I live at 5829 Rieger Avenue, and I'm very grateful to be here with you today. I am here actually representing a very good friend of mine and one of our honey customers, Janice Provost, who is the past immediate president of the Greater Dallas Restaurant Association and also the executive chef and owner of Parigi Restaurant. Dear ladies and gentlemen, my name is Janice Provost, and I am the executive chef and owner of Parigi Restaurant and the immediate past president of the Greater Dallas Restaurant Association. I'm a Texan through and through, and I grew up in a household with a mom who was a beekeeper. She would rob the bees, and then I remember helping extract the honey from the honeycomb. She would sell that honey when we used that money to supplement our household income. Fast forward 25 years, and those lessons she taught me are still holding strong. As a chef, a business owner, and I like to think a responsible citizen, I focus a lot of time and energy on doing the right thing. Doing the right thing starts with giving my restaurant patrons the best possible products available. Having the ability of those ingredients is key. Parigi is a pioneer in the local food movement, and for the past 15 years, our focus has been on using locally produced fruits and vegetables as well as sustainably raised products from local farms and ranches. When I began to write this letter, I looked at my menu just to see what would be impacted if we didn't have some assistance from our little bee friends and other pollinators. It was shocking. The tomatoes that we get from Mr. Lemley wouldn't be available. The basil from Rocky Tassioni, nope. The cucumbers, zucchini, purple whole peas, okra, blueberries, and strawberries, not going to happen. But it didn't stop there. What about the beef, lamb, and pork dishes? Well, their grass and grain-based diet would be diminished and would not be on a menu in a bee-free world. Oh, and let's not forget about cheese. Then I looked at the economic impact on the farmers and purveyors if they didn't have those products to sell. I'm one little restaurant, but just those few items listed above and on a monthly basis translate into thousands of dollars that would be lost from the local economy. Multiply that by the thousands of restaurants in the Dallas area, and you're talking a major economic impact. Public awareness of the importance of honeybees is growing. Besides the obvious products they produce. Honeybees' role as pollinators are unsurpassed in their service to farmers producing fruits and vegetables. Without a large and steady supply of bee colonies for commercial growers and healthy populations of beneficials for our local small-scale farmers and gardeners would not be able to produce these crops, and their businesses and unpollinated crops would fail. I very much appreciate the time to have my thoughts presented, and as I said, I try to do the right thing, and I hope you will too. So as a local business owner and somebody that considers themselves supporters of this fragile natural resource, we have a lot of small-scale farmers. There's a lot of school gardens going in. We have some people that are doing small-scale farming in urban areas, and they can plant seeds all day long. But if you don't have the pollinators produce the fruit, then we're not going to be able to have the food that goes to the table. So this is a national and global issue, as you can see here on Time Magazine, and you can see in the Advocate Magazine that was just on us and the work that we do to conserve this fragile natural resource. I would hope that the City of Dallas and the County of Dallas would consider larvaciding and not adulticiding for mosquitoes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Valetta Lill.
Good morning. Good morning. Valetta Forsyth Lill, 622 Blair Boulevard, 75223. And I come before you today to ask your help. It is with real pride that we celebrate an amazing neighborhood in the center of our city, the Dallas Arts District. Personally, I have come full circle in 28 years, bearing witness to the change, first as a visitor and volunteer, then council member and executive director, and now visitor and volunteer again. The investments of public taxpayers, private developers, and even the faith community has captured the imaginations of millions. Now today, we find ourselves a community locked in battle. Media companies follow every nuanced statement. Fake personalities have been created to sway opinion, and reputations have been sullied. The successful work of so many is now threatened by this dispute. Sadly, the Dallas Morning News has reported that the museum tower has spent more than $1 million on a public relations campaign that really has us no closer to a resolution than 2 years ago when we discovered when it was first noticed. In a defined benefit plan, that is money that it would eventually have gone to either a resolution for this problem or to the pensioners. Enough is enough, and we need your help. Don't compromise the success of the cultural jewel of the Arts District, and don't compromise the long-term integrity of the pensions of the men and women who have given their careers to us. Mayor, I applaud your step in placing fresh eyes on the problem. To the council members who have been willing to serve, I say thank you. Going forward, I would hope that we could, one, work to set goals and deadlines. We have been in discussion for 18 months, and we are no closer to resolution. Engage more fresh eyes if necessary. Dallas is known for that. When we wanted to protect the pensions of our civilian workers, we engaged experts, a small panel of the best minds who gave of their time to make recommendations. They were given a specific task, a specific deadline, and we came to a specific solution. The amazing success of the Dallas Arts District has been, for 30-plus years, continuing to move forward as a goal. We have kept advancing and protected the assets of the City of Dallas. The vision has been updated. Mayors, councils, and city managers may have changed, but everyone kept moving the ball forward. And that's what we are asking you today. Move it forward. Help us find a solution. Make Dallas a better city. Thank you to my former colleagues. And before I step away from the podium, I just want to say, it was a privilege to serve with Leo. He was a great man, a great council member, and passionate about his service. And of all the things that were mentioned there, he was always a friend of the arts and of preservation. So we thank him for all those things, and I will see many of you at the wake. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Long.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes your morning speakers. For those that had signed up as additional morning speakers, you will be called in the afternoon. We're not able to give you a definite time, but it will be after 1 o'clock. Your next item, Mr. Mayor, is the voting agenda, which is approval of minutes of the June 24, 2013 special and inauguration meetings and June 26, 2013 city council meetings. I do have some corrections. For the June 24 afternoon meeting, the record needs to reflect that the nomination for Mayor Pro Tem was made by Councilmember Alonzo. As well, for the June 26 regular meeting, on addendum addition item number 21, Councilmember Grayson also pulled the item for individual consideration along with Councilmember Kingston.
Hold on. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I made the nomination for Mayor Pro Tem.
Right. The nomination was made by Councilmember Hill, and the second was made by Councilmember Alonzo. Okay. So I apologize if I misphrased. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
That's what I was going to say, too. Thank
you. Okay, with those changes, do we have a motion to approve? We had a motion and a second. Any other edits, comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 62 and addendum items number 1 through 7. Right now, we do have some individuals signed up to speak. Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw has signed up for all agenda items. However, Mr. Crenshaw, we do need for you to please clarify at the point that you come up what item you were speaking on. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak, and please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
I think there are several people that are going to be speaking on items and consent.
Yes,
let me just articulate the rules of engagement here. We want to hear your points of view on these items. We want you to speak on the items and the matter at hand on the items, not something that is a cousin to one of those items. So please speak to the items. Mr. Crenshaw.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. And I also want to say this, Mr. Mayor, because I did run into former Councilman Cheney at the Minion store about 2 weeks ago, and we had a brief conversation. But we also lost someone who was a grassroots person, grassroots organizer, who came down to, with us in 1980 and continued to be involved in the community, and that's Willie Harold Cox. His wake will be tonight at Golden Gate. But I'm going to speak on agenda items 31, 44, 45, 46, 70, 73, and addendum item number 3. Number 31, on the contract with Turner Construction Company, I would just like to know, is that the same company that former Mayor Leppert had? I was the owner or had investments in or whatever, and is he still involved in that? Number 44, 45, 46 has to do with something in District 7 around Bear Street, and I'd like to know if we can get those items pulled because of the fact that there are things that are occurring and those of us in District 7 don't find out till the last minute because we do not have town hall meetings. We had town hall meetings on a regular basis. We could find out exactly what's going on and have staff there and everything else. And then there's another one I want to talk about. I think that's number 28, where you have the traffic lights and on several streets over by Hatcher, over by Lincoln High School. And that's important, and I have no problem with that. But we also need to have town hall meetings regarding things that are happening around Lincoln. And in that area, and I live right behind Lincoln High School, and we feel sometimes that we're the ones that are left out and people want to, you know, threaten us and all kinds of things. And if there's something's going to happen there, Mr. Mayor, new housing or building housing, we would like to be notified before that happens. We would like to introduce a concept called asset mapping. And all asset mapping does is that you have those aerial photographs to find out exactly what is compatible to the area there. We need a grocery store right there where those signs are. And we need that. We have from Pine, Mr. Mayor, and we were hoping you came down there from Pine all the way down to Hatcher. You have 10 convenience stores there, and all of them are selling the same thing and nothing that is conducive to the health of the people who reside there. And we need some help on that. And we don't need no deal makers. We need something where we can have some town hall meetings where the citizens in that area can be involved in that process. That's one of the problems that's wrong. We need a school for community organizing, Mr. Mayor, that will resolve a whole lot of things that you have people out there on a day-to-day basis being concerned about the community. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw. I agree with what a lot you're saying. I do want to say that we had a town hall meeting just the other night down there at Martin Luther King Boulevard.
That was on the budget.
Yeah, but it was open to a lot of things.
I understand that was 10 people there.
Thank you.
Y'all live down by Lincoln. Thank you.
We do have two individuals signed up to speak on agenda item number 27. Your first speaker is Tony Casanova, and your second speaker is Carlos Marroquin. Again, you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Agenda item number 27.
Item 27, just so you understand, we need comments whether we should authorize the public budget hearing. That's the subject, not on the public budget itself. Please.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank the city council, the mayor, and the city manager for this time to speak on behalf of the 164 drivers who signed the petition to ask that our pay be assessed for fiscal year 2013. This letter was sent to the director, Mr. Kelly High, the director of sanitation, that our pay be assessed. We are understaffed, overworked, and underpaid. As of this day, we have not gotten a definitive answer on what our base pay would be,
We're getting off the subject. We're going to vote on whether we should authorize a public hearing, not to hear about the budget itself. There is a time for that. But if you speak up to the item, we want you to focus on that. Should we authorize a public hearing and hear your points of view? That's the question.
Well, sir, I was not aware of this restriction. All I was told was to prepare a speech on behalf of the drivers of sanitation on what we are going through and what our requests were. So at this point, I will just relinquish my time and let Carl.